When I was in university, I had a friend who had a profound impact on my faith. I learned to walk with Jesus from him. I learned to pray from him. I learned to worship from him. Like, I still pray like he does. Now, 20 years later, I'm a pastor, and he wants nothing to do with the church. I'm sure that I'm not the only one who is in that boat, who has had a friend or a relative or a neighbor, or maybe even somebody that has sat next to you in a pew, who has seemed to walk with the Lord and then stopped. The passage that we are going to look at today, this parable, gives us a chance to think about those people and to ask, well, what happens there? what happens when somebody says they know the Lord and then kind of walk away? Does God give up on people who give up on him? Let's go to the parable. Let's see what Jesus has to say. Matthew 18 is where we're going to look. Matthew 18, 12 through 14 is the parable in particular, but I encourage you to have your Bible open, because we're going to look at, through the scope of today, most of, or a lot of 18 at least. So Matthew 18, 12 to 14, Jesus says this, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? Implied, of course he will do that. And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 others that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Graham, this is about lost sheep, not wandering sheep. Jesus isn't talking about believers here. Jesus is talking about people who don't know him at all, right? The lost sheep. Your Bible might even have a heading there that says this is the parable of the lost sheep, i.e. doesn't know the Lord. And I'll tell you, when I started working on this parable, that's what I assumed this parable was about. You can actually see in the sermon outline that I gave you, this series outline a couple of months ago, I wrote the parable of the lost sheep, because I kind of just thought this is what Jesus was talking about. But when I got to digging into it, I realized that what I was doing was actually bringing Jesus' teaching in Luke and sticking it into Jesus' teaching in Matthew. Because in Luke's gospel, Luke records Jesus using this image of one sheep, one shepherd going and leaving the 99 to find it. He uses that illustration to talk about finding people who don't know him, finding unbelievers. And yet here in Matthew, Jesus uses the very same illustration to make a different point, which is to say that he goes after not just lost sheep, but wandering sheep. There are two reasons that I am confident of that Jesus is talking about believers who have gone off course here. The first reason is because chapter 18 is all about believers. Every verse before this parable is about people who belong to him, who are church-going people, who know him. Every verse after this parable is about believers. If we are going to hear what Jesus is going to say, then we need to hear the parable in light of what he has just said and what he is about to say. That makes me think that, you know, in the flow of this chapter, he would continue talking about believers rather than sticking a random four verses about non-believers in. But the second reason I think is even better, because there is a key word in this parable that links up with what Jesus has already said and very clearly shows us that Jesus is talking about believers. Verse 14, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Mikron, these little ones. Who exactly are these little ones? Slide your finger just a little bit up the page to verse 6. Look in verse 6. Jesus says, little ones are the people who believe in him. And verses 3 and 4 and 5, Jesus makes the case that people who humble themselves in order to rely on the Lord are little ones. And so when Jesus says, my Father does not want to lose any of these little ones, he is talking about believers who know him and yet have wandered off course for whatever reason. So let's listen again to this parable, verse 12. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that he lost? I mean, immediately this makes the parable make more sense, right? Because if I believe in the Lord, I belong to the Lord. I am one of his sheep. A believer is one of those people who are in his flock that he would go after to look for. If he finds it, having gone to look for that sheep, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, just as the shepherd would feel about that sheep, the Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Jesus tells us three things here, I think, about our Father in heaven and his attitude towards Christians who have wandered off course. First, God seeks wandering sheep. Right? In the world of the parable, the shepherd going off to find the sheep is just a matter of course. There's no controversy here. There's no conversation. Jesus says, what do you think? Will he not go and get it? The implication is, yes, of course he will go and get it. The shepherd is not going to say, oh, well, that one wasn't really that valuable to me anyways. Whatever. No big loss. No, the shepherd is not willing to lose a sheep. God goes after that sheep the very same way. Goes after wandering sheep the same way. When one believer goes astray, or they're led astray by someone else, and they wander off, God doesn't say, well, no big loss. God goes after them. God doesn't give up on wandering sheep. So that's the first thing. God seeks wandering sheep. Second, God seeks wandering sheep because he doesn't want to lose even one. God doesn't want to lose even one of his sheep. That's verse 14. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. That means that when any one of us wanders, God notices. We don't get lost in his giant spreadsheet in the sky. God notices where each and one of us are, and it just makes sense. God has already paid the price of his precious son to buy each and every one of us as believers. He would not now then say, oh well, tough loss. God hates the idea of losing even a single believer for whom Jesus died. God seeks wandering sheep because God doesn't want to lose even one. And three, when God brings those wandering sheep back, he doesn't resent them for having gone astray. He delights to have them back. God doesn't resent wanderers, but delights to have them back. I mean, think about the world of the parable. The shepherd, when he realizes that the sheep is gone, he probably thinks, oh, this is a hassle. What a pain. This is going to cost me an afternoon. And yet, his desire for that sheep moves him out. He says, I don't care what it's going to take. I am going to rescue that sheep. When he finally does, he doesn't resent that sheep. He doesn't decide, Boy, I could sure go for a burger. He goes, listen, I am happier that I have found this one sheep than the joy that these other sheep have brought me, are making me feel happy right now. Bring that in the real world, what does it say? Jesus is teaching us that when God brings one of us back, he doesn't hold a grudge against us. He doesn't resent us for him having to go bring us back. He is simply overwhelmed with joy, knowing that the one who was lost is now found. So, yes, in Luke, Jesus says that there is more joy in heaven when one sinner turns from his sin and comes home. In Matthew, Jesus says there is just as much joy when one believer comes back to the Lord. God seeks wandering sheep because he is not willing to lose even a single sheep, and he delights to have them back. That's the parable. What does that mean for us? What's our part in this? Let's assume here that we are all sheep. We have made the decision to walk with Jesus. I think that there are three postures then that we are now called to have. And these verses come from these postures come from the verses just before and after this. If we are not wandering sheep, and we know sheep who are wandering, here are three postures for us. First, don't look down on the wandering sheep. That's verse 10. See that you do not look down on or despise these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. The bit about the angels is just to say that we may be tempted to look down on people who are wandering, and yet they have the very attention of heaven. They are always before the Lord in God's mind. The key that I want you to see is the first part. If you are actively following Jesus, if you are at home in the flock, it can be very easy to look down your nose at a person and say, how could they get caught up in that sin? Or how could they be wandering away? Or what is it about them that has made them so foolish as to go away from the Lord? And yet, what does Jesus say? Don't despise them. Don't look down your nose at them. Second posture, humbly point out their fault. That's the very next verse after this parable, right? Verse 15. If your brother sins against you, or if your brother sins, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens, you have won your brother over. When it comes to dealing with sin in churches, it can be very easy to go to one of two extremes. One is to be so offended by their wandering, their wanton sin, that we just look down our noses on them and cast them out. And yet the other extreme to go to, which is just as dangerous, is to say, well, yeah, they probably shouldn't be doing that, but oh well. Tolerating sin is just as bad as ostracizing sinners. Jesus says here, look at, if a sheep has wandered off course, then humbly go to them and show them that. Let them know that. Knowing that you could just as easily need that reminder to get back on course yourself down the line. So one, don't despise a wandering believer. Instead, two, point out their sin. And three, help them to deal with that sin. Right? Pray for them. Walk with them. Help them to be accountable. Join them in doing the hard work of cutting off the hands and feet and desires of sin. That's verses 8 and 9 in your Bible, right? This is all fitting together. Jesus doesn't explicitly say it, but Paul does in Galatians 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual, you who are more mature should restore that person gently, help them to deal with their sin, but watch yourself or you may also be tempted. The reality is that on this side of heaven, all believers are going to struggle. We're going to wrestle with this sin. The good news is that God himself seeks wandering sheep and we can help each other in that struggle. Ultimately, that's the big idea that I want you to take home. God seeks wandering sheep, and we can help to bring them home. God seeks wandering sheep, and we can help to bring them home. Let me take a minute to apply that. God seeks wandering sheep, and it strikes me that there are a handful of ways that believers wander. First, God seeks sheep who have wandered off because they've been led astray. The heartbreaking reality that many of us in our congregation are all too aware of is that sometimes believers cause other believers to go astray. Verse 6, it's a reality. Some pastors lead their congregations astray when they themselves make bad, personal, sinful decisions that call into question the goodness that they themselves proclaimed. Right? There are people who wander away from the Lord because their pastor has wandered away from the Lord. There are people who have gotten caught up in the fallout or gotten hurt. There are people who have just been hurt by other people within the church. And so now they don't want anything to do with God. Jesus tells us here that God goes out of his way to track them down. He doesn't want to lose a single one of them. He is not willing to lose even a single one of them. He goes out to find them. He doesn't resent them when he brings them home. You know, they may have a hard time going back to church, but God can't bear for them to be away. And so he is at work bringing wandering sheep in who have been led astray by other believers. Not only that, second, God seeks wandering sheep who have wandered because of their own sin. Right? We all know people who have seemed to walk with the Lord and then gotten tangled up in something or other, gone off to do their own thing. And we all have neighbors, we all have relatives, we all have friends that we have known who have gotten caught up in things that aren't exactly God-honoring. I think that this parable invites us to believe that God seeks even them. Right? If they are truly believers, God has called them to himself, then we have every reason that God is going to be at work to bring them back into the fold. J.R.R. Tolkien said, all who wander are not lost. That's true here. This parable gives us hope that indeed God is not going to give up on any of those loved ones whom we love who have gone astray. And third, if you're wandering, God is looking for you. You know, it can be so easy when we get tangled up in our own sin that we start to think, well, God's not going to care about me now. I said I liked him, but then it turned out I liked other things better. And then you start to think, well, God will never have me back. This passage says otherwise. God is looking for you. Call out to him so that he comes and finds you. He's not going to resent you for it. He's not going to hold it against you. He is more happy to have you back than the 99 people who never left this place in the first place. God seeks wandering sheep, and we can help to bring them home. Right. If you know people who have wandered astray, if they have been led away, if they are mired in sin, help them to come home. Right? Don't look down on them. Don't judge them for their sin. Sometimes when I talk to people just pastorally, they think, you get this hesitation where they think, oh, I've done the worst thing I've ever done, Graham. You're going to think so little of me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The worst thing you've ever done is not the worst thing ever. don't look down on them. With humility and unconditional love, welcome them back. Yes, point out that sin. Say, yes, what you are doing is wandering off course. Or, yes, you are wandering, and yes, I know that your pastor failed you, but Jesus is not going to fail you. So don't give up on him. Help them to deal with the sin. Help them to come back into the fold. You know, the very last verses of James's letter say that, right? James 5, 19 and 20. My brothers and sisters, he says, if any of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, well, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. God seeks wandering sheep, and we can help to bring them home. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this message, and just personally, I'm grateful for this, because this passage has never registered as it should have in my mind, and yet it is so important for us to hear. We know that you love the lost. Your desire is not that anyone should perish, but that all should believe and have eternal life. And yet somehow I think, God, we can kind of instinctively think that, well, once you've been saved, then it's up to you to stay that way. And if you step out of line, well, then God's just going to give up on you. This parable says, no, that ain't true. God, we are grateful that you love sheep who are lost. You love sheep who are home. You love sheep who wander. And you are willing that you not lose even a single one of any of those people. So Lord, I pray to you, the Good Shepherd, that you would go after people who have been led astray. Lord, we know that there are churches in our midst who have had pastors misrepresent the gospel, and people have gone astray because of it. Lord, bring them home. Help them to see your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, we pray for people who have gotten tangled up in sin of every kind, whether it's things that they're doing, things that they're consuming, things that they are believing. Lord, we pray that you would go and gather each one back. Jesus, we know that you have died for each of these people, and for us looking in, it can be hard to say, oh, how can this person throw their life and their salvation away? And yet, you are saying to us through this passage, you're not willing that that happen. So God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts to be gracious and firm. Help us to be truth tellers, and to point out sin, and yet to do it in a way that says the Father welcomes you home with open arms. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here who is so entangled in doing their own thing, doing right in their own eyes, or doing sin, and they realize it and yet hate that they do it, Good Shepherd, come free them from that snare. I pray that they would hear you speaking through me right now to say, before the throne of God, you have a great high priest who gives a great high priest who is always pleading, interceding. You are not lost. You are not lost for good. The shepherd is coming to get you out of this snare. Call out to him. And Father, I pray for all of us as a congregation that we would welcome home people like this of all kind. Lord, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have relatives who seemed to walk with you at one point in their life, who have wandered off now. Lord, we don't want to be naggy. We don't want to guilt trip people into coming back. I don't think you want us to guilt trip people into coming back. But I do know that your desire is that they would come back to you, that they would know you and walk with you once more. So I pray that you would help us as a congregation to welcome them home, to be non-judgmental, to be gracious. We pray for your help in that. Shepherd, our good shepherd, bring them back and help us to be able to be welcoming in it. We give ourselves to your service in this, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.